Bristol. It's nighttime, and a police car's lights are flashing as it speeds along a road.
I've come out in this area probably hundreds of times. This Friday night was different.
A man with a camera.
It's weird coming back, man.
A bald man.
I remember kind of getting loud, and you could kind of sense where there's something in the air, do you know what I mean? Like, this isn't a friendly conversation.
I was angry when I saw him.
You were, yeah. He was trying to get close to you, but I just thought he was trying to intimidate you, maybe, by just getting head to head.
So he stood around where you are now and holds a blade down by my gut.
I remember, like, just seeing his hand come down, and I couldn't hear the punches connect. And his arm's going, like, fast.
It stabbed me twice in the head, and then I felt him stab me in the face, and he stabbed me just under the eye there. I heard every single stab. Each time, so it was...
God, fucking hell.
I just blacked out. That was it. I can't remember anything.
You were covered in blood, and I knew something had gone really wrong. Just flagged down a taxi and we got away. Let's be honest, man, we're all scared, do you know what I mean?
I remember thinking, am I gonna die? Am I gonna bleed out? There was a moment when I was thinking, am I gonna be blind?
To me, it was like an attempted murder.
Yeah, no, I'm just glad you're here, man.
Scars, Surviving a Stabbing, filmed, produced and directed by A. Branek. Traffic passing along a road in the city at night, then a dark underpass.
Across the country, there's a knife crime on average every 11 minutes.
Footage of knife crimes.
Hundreds of people lose their lives. It causes enormous pain to loved ones. The most tragic possible outcome.
A's a white man in his 30s with a beard.
I was lucky.
See that?
I survived and came away without any life-changing injuries. Over the last 8 years, I've made documentaries about young people and violence. But I've hardly spoken to anyone about my experience of being stabbed.
You kind of brushed over it like it wasn't that big of a deal. And it wasn't until I saw you maybe a month later, and that's when I noticed, you know, you had like quite a big wound underneath your eye and onto your head, wasn't it?
When I do, I feel a rawness in my chest that's hard to describe. It's a mix of hurt, anger, and fear. I don't want to carry this anymore. I need to find out how other people are learning to live with their scars, and what happens when men bottle up their hurt.
Look at that teeth. You know the thing.
A young man lying on the pavement, face down.
While there's no shortage of people bragging about stabbing someone, hardly anyone speaking about actually being stabbed.
Honestly, guys, when was the last time you sat down with yourself, on your own, no distractions, and asked yourself what you wanted out of life?
But there's one guy who's different. He's an influencer and entrepreneur.
Yes, people, Kieran Quinlan here, owner of The Pitch Gym, best body transformation facility in Birmingham.
When he was 17, he was robbed at knife point and stabbed in the heart. I'm heading over to meet him at his gym in central Birmingham.
Hello, mate.
Hey, mate.
How are you?
You all right?
Good.
This
is the Pit Gym.
It's where the magic happens.
This is where the magic happens, yeah.
I buried my experience for years, but Kieran couldn't be more different. I want to know how he got to the point of being able to speak about his stabbing so publicly.
All right, lads, bring it in. You're going to start with the heaviest one you can do. Next one. A little bit lighter, tricep extension. Once you get to the bottom, lap it back through, 8 minutes. Yeah? Off you go!
A busy gym.
Would you mind showing me your scars?
Kieran pulls off his top to reveal the chest scar.
This is where the knife went in, this bit here. And then obviously this is like open heart surgery, so they had to cut me open and basically sort my heart out, basically. So that one around there, where they drain my lung, and then...
The two there in my stomach.
What do you see now when you look in the mirror and you see your scars?
Don't know. See a fucking weapon.
See someone who, you know what I mean, has been through something, come out the other side, and then just,
he's part of me now. Do you know what I mean? It's just like having a tattoo.
How did you feel about your scar at first?
I hated it there, yeah. My scar was bright red at the time. Collarbone sticking out.
I felt lost like over a stone and a half when I was in hospital. So when I come out, I was just like streak of piss and dust. Yeah, weak, no confidence.
17 years old.
Completely bedbound. My life was fucking absolutely spun on its head. It took me ages to be able to sort of like even look in the mirror. So I used to wear t-shirts like right up to my neck. I'd never like take my top off. Like I hated people even seeing it. I wanted to go to the gym to make myself look a bit more intimidating so people wouldn't fuck with me, basically. But when I was there, I started realising how much it improved my confidence.
How many years after being stabbed did you start to speak about it publicly?
Probably like 4, I'd say. It wasn't... OK, it weren't easy, but it got better every time I spoke about it.
A social media post.
First time I'd ever spoke about it publicly. I posted this on social media and it blew up.
A comment says, respect.
And I realised that people was inspired by, like, me overcoming it. And then from there, it just snowballed. The thing that I was most scared of was being judged and having people say how horrible it was. It done the opposite. It propelled me into the fitness industry.
Your experience is fully interwoven into the business as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the scar kind of the brand now?
Yeah, I think because of it, it's such a big part of why I am the way I am and why I do what I do, so it's important that like people know where that come from and the origin story of like everything.
Kieran shuts one of his brown dogs in the boot of his car, then drives off.
While I've blocked out my memories, it seems like Kieran's owned his stabbing and made it work for him.
Come on. Good boy.
I wonder if it was always so easy.
After it happened, for like a couple of years, I was sort of just getting into like a lot of trouble and stuff, so I was like fighting a lot. You know, it wasn't like little fights, it was fucking like bad like fights.
Did you ever hurt anyone badly after you were hurt?
Yeah, probably a couple of times. No, I never wanted to really own the fact that I was in a bad place. And my parents, they used to say, you need to deal with it, you need to speak to someone, like, because it'll come out in other ways. It was only like a few years though, until the depression really started kicking in and I was like getting really bad down days, just like burst into tears for no reason. I'd get to a point where it was like I was so like in rage and I got diagnosed with PTSD.
Did you ever get therapy?
Nah, well, I went to victim support initially and I hated it. Went to counselling, I hated it. And that was it really, I didn't want to speak to anyone about it.
Why didn't you like counselling?
Just make you feel like a victim. It was very like, there, not you're so brave, like, it's okay to feel the way that you're feeling, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it's not what I want to hear right now. What I want to hear is get your shit together, man up and fucking get on with it. I feel how I feel. Do you know what I mean? I want to feel different. I don't care about how this is feeling. I want to go, I want to make myself feel better. How do I do that? What are the steps I need to take to make myself feel better?
Like Kieran, I didn't want to feel vulnerable or like a victim in the months after I was stabbed. I had night terrors and a panic attack, but I was never offered therapy, and I didn't seek it out. I just cracked on, hoping things would heal over time.
A video.
Yeah, I was stabbed. I'm panicking about me being stabbed, bro. Look at the sweat on my head, yeah?
I've come across a guy called Aggie, who streamed the aftermath of his stabbing.
I'm live on TikTok.
7,000 people watched him live from an ambulance.
Fuck, you know, it feels like you're playing tug of war with my leg. Fuck, do you want to see the wound before we cover it?
It couldn't be further from what I did. I deleted most of the photos of my injuries and threw away my clothes that had puncture holes.
Aggie's taking gas and air.
I want to know if Aggie streamed this footage for views or if sharing it helped him move on. But I can't seem to get him to meet me.
Welcome to Give Gas voicemail.
Some people want to bury the memory, but Aggie seems like he wants other people to live his experience.
A young man with a face scar and afro-style hair.
Someone who has agreed to meet me is a guy called Jasper.
Let's just kill knife crime, all right?
From what I can see, he was stabbed 5 years ago when he was 17.
Over the last year, Jasper has collected over 350 knives from across Gloucestershire.
Honestly, it does scare me thinking about kids that want to do this.
Gloucester. Ace driving.
Hey Jasper, how you doing, mate?
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Coming to see you now, not too far from Gloucester.
I want to find out how Jasper's dealing with the impact of being stabbed.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, everybody from Gloucester. Today, I'm just doing a little outreach video. I'm just letting everybody know, putting the knives down, it's still going. We collect weapons and we take them down to the police stations.
How many followers you got?
9,129 members. It's just still growing. It won't stop, to be honest.
How is all this funded?
Like, I have to pay for everything. Just a 22-year-old lad who's pretty much working part-time at the moment. It's a lot to take on board. Sometimes I forget things, but, yeah.
His scar.
Do you mind if I ask you about the scar on your face?
Yeah, I was attacked with a blade. I'm not a snitch and I wouldn't ever tell the names, but I was just out with my girlfriend at the time and I've been offered out for a fight. I didn't really want to do it, but me being with my girlfriend, I wanted to show the big I am, you know, and I agreed to it. And then from there, I just got absolutely annihilated. It's back when, I think it was probably about 4 days after the incidents happened. I couldn't eat, I had to force myself to eat with a straw. They were having me on multiple steroids and antibiotics, so I was just constantly knocked out.
How did you feel about your scar at first?
Many years ago, it made my face, this face, go a lot more skinnier. This side was a bit more out. I was upset that my face had been deformed. It was a really hard time, for like a period of probably about 6 weeks, up until I had the stitches taken out. Just felt isolated, completely different from the rest, you know? Couldn't walk in McDonald's without people looking at me. I couldn't do certain things without people looking at me, and just felt like shit.
Jasper looks off sadly.
I'm really sorry to see you went through that, Jasper. I know it's not easy, so I'm honestly really sorry to hear that, mate.
Thank you.
Jasper's on his phone.
What happened to Jasper still feels really raw for him. Despite that, he quickly responds to a text that comes in about a weapons collection.
Hey Jasper, I have a few knives I need disposed of. Would it be possible to arrange collection? I said, hello, I can collect them from you, no problem.
What's this?
So this is a step-proof vest. I wear this every time I collect weapons. It comes on me simply just like that. You've got to take precautions. And boom, I've got my body armour. I'm not going to leave you to it.
He scratches his dog's head.
The woman he's visiting is happy for me to come along, but doesn't want to be identified.
I appreciate you contacting me and bringing this forward to me. Yeah, it really does mean a lot.
She's found a collection of knives hidden in her house.
My brother was acting suspicious. When he was out one day, I went into his bedroom, searched, and found all of these.
And find all these.
Oh, wow.
Under the bed. Hid everywhere.
Can I ask how old your younger brother is? 15 years old?
Yeah.
Wow. Usually I do pick up about 6-7, but 15 weapons in one go is really shocking.
I was heartbroken.
She says I was heartbroken, knowing that he could do that. It was horrible.
Each one of these knives can inflict so much physical and emotional damage. And Jasper's taken hundreds off the streets.
At the police station.
Hiya, I got some weapons to drop off. Brilliant, thank you so much.
Disposing of the knives.
Jasper hands over weapons, but that's it. He never gives up any information about who or where he collects the knives from.
And do they tell you why they're carrying?
So as much as I can really say is they don't want to be carrying weapons anymore.
Okay.
But it's usually because of fear of other people carrying weapons.
So they're protecting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The knives in the container.
As someone who's been stabbed, I feel uneasy around knives. I wonder if it's the same for Jasper.
It can affect me in the worst of ways. Sometimes I do look at the weapons and it makes you think like, Jesus Christ. It could literally just be a split second and instantly I'm feeling weary, I've got bad anxiety going on, or it just brings back a memory from the past and you don't really enjoy it, but then you have to self-realise that what you are doing is stopping somebody else from going through the same experiences that I've gone through.
A's driving at night.
I really admire Jasper. Putting himself back into these environments seems to be rewarding, but also triggering at times.
Out of focus lights.
I wonder if digging up the past will be worth it.
An open window on the side of a house, then clouds moving across the night sky above the city. A bright street lamp flashing in the dark, then a time lapse of people walking through an underpass and vehicles moving along roads in the city. A turns on a lamp in his room.
So I've woken up kicking and screaming. I was panicking, I was breathing really heavily, and then I think I screamed really loud and I made my girlfriend scream as well. It's the first time I've had anything like a nightmare or a night terror like that since just after I was stabbed. I don't know, maybe hearing about other people's experiences and speaking about my own is affecting me more than I thought it would be.
In the morning, a white woman wearing a headband over her brown hair is smiling at a baby.
That's funny.
I met my girlfriend Fran a few years after I was stabbed. But until now, we've never really talked about it.
I was wondering what you witnessed, what happened.
Well, yeah, you've always been a very peaceful sleeper, but you woke me up. Just, yeah, so like somebody was attacking you. Hopefully it won't happen again, but, you know, we're going to have to discuss what we do next time, because I tried to wake you up because I thought you were terrified and you were deep within it. And then actually that kind of made it worse, and I think I terrified you more because I think, it was like you were kind of curling yourself up in a ball, but then you were also lashing out. And also you were loud, because I remember us saying, we hope we didn't wake the neighbours up. Yeah, I've never known anything like it with you. I've never known you have nightmares, night terrors. It was definitely a night terror. You were terrified, without a doubt. You were deep within something really dark.
A tree reflected in a window, then city buildings from above in London.
I've never thought about speaking to a professional before.
Morning, eh?
Morning, Tosin.
How are you doing?
Good,
thanks.
It's not something that's easily accessible or affordable for everyone. But now that my night terrors are coming back, I'm meeting a psychologist to try and understand how I'm feeling.
So you've written in here that you've been experiencing repeated and disturbing unwanted memories of the stressful experience. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that looks like?
What I have had is dreams where someone has been stabbed. Quite vivid dreams of involving knives or involving someone like a friend of mine being attacked.
Yeah.
I have really clear sort of memories of being stabbed twice in the top of the head and then once in the face.
Yeah.
And then my brain is completely shut down.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of just blacked out after that.
Yeah.
It's like my brain just completely shut itself down.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah. I'm all right. Thank you. Yeah, it's. I don't know. It's almost like it was. There's too much stimulation for my brain to take, really, just hearing those noises and getting stabbed so frantically.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
He presses his fingers and thumb against his eyes as he starts to cry.
I'll get you some tissue.
Thank you.
She gets up and A wipes his eye with the back of his hand.
What was happening then? What do you think it was that got you so emotional?
I don't know, I think it's just a bit overwhelming. I think it's the... the intensity of it all, potentially.
Mm.
People say being stabbed is like being punched, but it's not when it's in your head, in your face. You hear all the sounds. You hear all the sounds really clearly of the knife going in and out of your head. So it felt very different to anything I'd experienced before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks through a document.
So you are clearly experiencing some symptoms of PTSD or trauma. And I think you may well benefit from some therapeutic input. It feels like you find your way to start to process it and to start to understand it and the impact it's having in your life through this journey and talking to others. I wonder whether, in some way, you're perhaps seeking validation from your perpetrator, actually, through doing this. So this is your way of saying, this is the impact you had on me.
This is the first time I've let myself get emotional about this. Talking must be doing something.
He's on the road again.
I've never really thought about my perpetrator's role in this, or whether I'd want him to know how it affected me. But maybe the psychologist has got a point.
He leans into his car.
I'm back in the Midlands to catch up with Kieran and his girlfriend Lauren.
How you doing, mate?
Hey, Kieran, how's things? Good to see you, my friend. How are you? I wonder how they've learned to deal with what happened to him.
Right, please don't laugh at this. I was meant to finish it, I haven't finished it because I haven't had
I haven't even time. Seen this yet.
Have you not seen any of it?
No.
Did I not show you? Yeah. Okay, these are like the worst photos ever.
A photo album.
That was 2012, so that's when we first got together, and that was it the year after?
Year after that, yeah.
A year and a bit after the accident.
I realise you just called it an accident.
Oh, no, I always call it an accident.
Do you see it as an accident?
I don't know, I always just call it when he had his accident. It wasn't an accident, because I know it wasn't an accident, but if it does come up and I'm like, oh, well, actually, he was stabbed in the heart when he was 17 and nearly died, then everyone's a bit like, oh, my God. And it does instantly change the conversation that you would have been having previously.
You could be having a laugh with someone, all of a sudden you go, after Keith's attack, fucking hell.
Yeah.
So with the anniversary of the attack, I call it stabiversary. Mm-hmm. So, like, we turned it into a celebration rather than a mourning, because, you know, at the end of the day, it was like a new birthday for me. It was something that happened to me that I wanted to celebrate. So, like, we call our friends and we go for some food and we've been on holidays, we go away, we do all sorts, man. We have meals, so, yeah.
Normally around the time that it happens, you normally get, like, a little bit quieter and a bit more within yourself.
Yeah. I was getting heart palpitations and stuff as well, like chest pains, which I've never really got before. And I was like, that was weird. And then...
Was that this year?
Yeah.
Do you think the fact that it still affects you, it means that you're still processing in some way?
I don't know, man. I don't think so. But who knows, you know what I mean? There's a reason why I feel that way, isn't there? But I expect to feel like that almost.
Like my girlfriend, Lauren seems to recognise the ripple effects of Kieran's attack. For every stabbing, there's a handful of people affected. Often loved ones. I can't imagine celebrating my attack or feeling at peace with it. I wonder if that comes from a sense of injustice. The truth is, I actually knew my attacker. When I was in my mid-20s, I was pouring pints and doing bits of camera work.
Pulling a pint.
Around that time, someone hired me to do some filming, but never paid me. When I ran into him a while later, I was angry. And when he pulled a blade, I chose not to walk away.
The incident report.
The police visited me in hospital, but I never gave up my attacker's name. I didn't want to be seen as a snitch, so my attacker was never charged.
Did not wish to pursue.
Jasper also didn't name the person who stabbed him. I'm curious whether this has affected how he feels now, but I've not managed to get hold of him for a few weeks.
Depression is like a bruise that never goes away.
Reading his post, it seems like he's feeling low and has taken some time out. I hope he's okay.
Jasper has posted, "I'll be back soon."
Only about 40% of knife crimes across the country end in a conviction. There must be thousands of people out there who, like me, never saw justice.
A handcuffed woman covering her face. Kent, by the coast.
But I've been in touch with someone who did see their attacker convicted.
Hey, Curtis, how's things, mate?
Hey, you all right?
Yeah, you all right,
bud? How you doing?
Good to see you, yeah.
Curtis was stabbed during a random attack on a night out in Ramsgate almost a year ago.
Curtis shows a large scar down his belly.
Talk me through this.
So this is where they had to open me up, and they left me open for 2 days while I had the surgery, and it all come across from one little stab in the back here. That's where the knife went in, and where it went in, it hit the front of my sternum. And obviously that's where it went through my liver, my lung, and then damaged my gallbladder at the same time.
It's crazy that one wound like that can do so much damage.
Yeah, I know, it's mad. So at the time, I thought when it happened, I thought it'd be a case of stitching me up and sending me home. I didn't think it'd be such a massive recovery process.
And you've got a plaster here as well?
That was actually last night where it's opened up the scar. So it's taken, all this scarring has taken nearly 12 months to heal. And it's still not healed now.
Would you say you're still recovering physically now?
I'm still recovering physically, yeah, for sure. Like, I'm just now starting trying to get back into good fitness and sort of trying to get myself back together.
Curtis was in a coma for a week and spent 28 days in hospital. His girlfriend helped to save his life.
This is my girlfriend, Amanda.
Hey, Amanda. Hey, right? Nice to meet you. How's things? You all right? Nice to meet you.
We went through the attack together. You've compressed my wound at the scene, didn't you? That was the thing.
Yeah, I don't think you thought it was that bad.
And Amanda, what was it like for you witnessing that happen to Curtis?
I think I was in shock for quite a while. You sort of try and block it out, didn't you?
Well, there was a lot of blood coming out. I just remember sort of falling asleep on the cobbles.
When the paramedics were trying to make me talk to you, so then you stayed awake.
Yeah.
Curtis's attack was captured on CCTV, and his perpetrator was recently sentenced to 12 years in prison.
What's it like to sit in court and look at your attacker?
The court was a hard thing, I think. I was struggling to sort of hold in my emotions in the court. Not angry emotions, just I was welling up, just listening to the story, and I sort of blocked it out for a long time, and so it did stir up a lot of the bad stuff that was in my mind. I actually just wanted to have a look and look into his eyes and sort of see really what he was all about, because I hadn't even looked into this guy's eyes, not once, because he stabbed me in the back. I'd never even met him before, I didn't know of him, so I'd never seen him. Once he'd stabbed me, they saw him laughing on the cameras, and then he discarded the knife and they found the knife.
Do you feel like you've got some closure from your attacker being sentenced?
Yeah. I think that I'd be more angry if he wasn't in prison. I can sort of try and build my life and know that he's out the way, getting punished for what he's done, and then I can try and sort of move on and sort of carry on with my life in a positive way.
Have you guys ever seen the CCTV?
I've never seen it. We've never seen it. If I was to watch that CCTV, that would sort of give me clarity of the situation. I think it'd be a lot easier for me to literally wipe it out of my mind and put it to one place.
Do you think it's a good idea for Curtis to watch it?
Probably not, no. I don't think it's a good idea. I already told him I don't think it's a good idea to watch it. Don't think anyone should watch that. Definitely not.
I just think that'd give me a bit of closure for the whole situation.
Curtis glances at Amanda with a furrowed brow. A couple are sitting on a bench overlooking the sea.
I think Curtis is still looking for answers. But with his perpetrator behind bars, he seems to have a sense of justice that I might never have.
Curtis is leaning on a railing by the water. Now, A's looking serious in his car at night.
It's a really hard thing to try and make sense of why someone would essentially put your life at risk. It's not really possible to make sense of a senseless act. All of your hurt and fear comes from one person. For me, with my perpetrator, I still carry anger 100% when I think about him. And I just think I've held on to this for too long. I want to try and find a way to let go. So part of me's thinking about whether I should consider trying to have some sort of contact with my perpetrator.
The bright moon in the sky.
I've heard about restorative justice before. It's when victims and perpetrators make contact, and sometimes even meet each other, to try and make peace with what happened.
Morning, Eleonora.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
I'm speaking to a restorative justice service to see if it's something I can explore.
Since you haven't pressed any charges, what you would have to do in that case would be to write a letter to the offender and contact him directly and see whether he's open to engage in this restorative process with you.
I'll go away and I'll have a think and, speak soon. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be there to support you if you decide to go ahead.
The service needs my perpetrator's consent to make contact, so it's on me to reach out to him. He could have changed in 8 years, or he could be the same person who stabbed me. But with a bit of digging, I could probably find him. I need to see what my circle think first.
All right, mate.
I'm actually considering trying to reach out to my attacker. What do you think of that?
I don't know, man. It's up to you, innit? Well, like I was saying, if you do that, then you know there potentially could be consequences or stuff that could happen off the back of that.
I think it's brave. What you're doing is brave. And at the end of the day, you just got to... it sounds cheesy. You're facing the fear, innit? Like, obviously, it's happened to me as well. Like, separately.
A music video.
Around the time I was stabbed, I was shooting a lot of music videos for my mate Twizzy. He was the first person to call me when I was lying in a bed, stitched and stapled up. I remember hearing the hurt in his voice.
Twizzy opens his door.
What up?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, sounds. I've already made you a cup of tea. I put it in your favourite cup as well.
A pink mug.
Wonder Woman.
We've never talked in depth about what happened to him at the time or in the years after.
When I got stabbed, say like a year and a half or so later, maybe 2 years later, I'd seen this kid who did it to me. And we were all in the same room together. And he turned around to me and he goes, "You were lucky that night." Like, not, it wasn't no bullshiness about it. He was trying to make a joke out of it. And I was like, "What do you?" And I never took no jokes with this shit. I was like, "What do you mean I was lucky?" He goes, "Oh, you know, because you could have died." And I said, "I wasn't lucky that I didn't die." And he goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Bro, if I'm fucking dead, then I'm dead. I ain't, there's no luck on my side either. Like, if I die, you're fucked. There's no luck involved in getting stabbed. So the fact that I didn't die and this guy didn't get sent to prison and ruin his whole fucking life for murder, that's lucky. They get to live a normal life. I'm the one that fucking's got the mental scars and all this other shit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So there ain't no luck. That pisses me off still to this day. But yeah, whatever.
Why is it so hard to talk about, do you think?
Because for me, it's like, probably angry, and also the fact that it's just, to me, it's like someone tried to kill me, bro. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's just mad, to be honest.
a boxing trophy.
I think it was 2004, and I was in a pub, and it kicked off. I had nothing to do with it kicking off, but this guy lost his mind. He said, did you kick me? I said, no. And then with that, he just started swinging, and he was, like, going for my face, so I've got my hands up, getting me all here, and then in the side there. And then they just ran away. And I'm walking into the pub, and I felt, like, this water, like, going down my back. I'm like, what's that? And I've just, like, gone like that, and I was just caked in blood. And then I realised, obviously, I've been stabbed. And then when I was in hospital, the police made me strip butt naked in front of them and took all my clothes. And I swear to God, that, like, destroyed me, because they were, like, looking at me like maybe I was, like, trouble or whatever because of what happened. And I just felt like absolute shit. I just felt like... yeah, shit. I pretty much had a nervous breakdown about 6 months later. And I was on, like, antidepressants and shit. And then it got really, really bad. But then, when I was on these tablets, I tried to kill myself. Because I was fucked.
Twizzy covers his mouth with his hand and looks off into the distance thoughtfully. A reaches out.
I'm sorry, is it? Nah, it's all good.
Twizzy rubs his face with his hands.
I can tell that it hurts you, and
yeah, it does.
It's horrible for me to see that. You didn't deserve that, and you don't deserve to be feeling that now.
No, I know.
Twizzy stares down.
Do you still see the ripple effects of being stabbed playing out now in your day-to-day life?
100%, yeah. Mate, I have dreams, like... yeah. You know, like, my missus would be asleep and I'd be screaming in my sleep, kicking, punching. But... don't get me wrong, I ain't walking around like this. I'm good, man. Like, you know, I'm sound. I have bad days. But no one will see me on those days, so it's all good. Like, I'm all right, man. I'm a fighter. I will never give up.
A framed photo of a boxing match in Twizzy's house, then the words talk and share written on a wall beneath a street sign.
After a month of no contact, Jasper's got back in touch and is up for meeting. It'll be good to see him.
Hello.
Hello, mate. How are you doing? You all right?
Good, man. How are you? Come
good
on
to
in.
See you. How have you been?
I've managed to get myself out of that little hole, you know? Like, I was just staying on the sofa for many days. And it just felt like it was an endless cycle of just bad thoughts, you know?
Was there anything in particular that brought on that low stage?
It just felt like a really big burnout.
The pain never leaves. Just one of those experiences you could never let go of, really. It really did take a toll on my mental health, and to be fair, it still has a huge impact on it now.
How do you think not being able to talk or get justice affects people who've been stabbed?
Makes you feel lonely. Alone. Again, a little bit angry at the world. Did you ever have any thoughts of retaliation?
Ace behind his camera.
I think I daydreamed. And I just ended up working so hard that I just didn't even think. I just kind of almost blocked out the thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good strategy, to be fair, for the meantime. If you're talking for the long run, over many experiences of myself, it's not good to bottle up these things and to save it for later, because you'll always feel like there's an unsolved piece of your life. Something I was always doing was bottling up my emotions before I just explode. And unfortunately, one of the times that I did explode, and one of the last times I did explode, was when I was caught with a weapon. 3 to 5 months after I've been stabbed, I'm carrying weapons.
Jasper as a teenager.
Why were you carrying a weapon?
Fear. Huge amount of fear. I just wanted to feel safe and not to be vulnerable again.
What do you mean by that?
As sad as it is, you don't want to be that guy that's caught up in the corner of a room, being the only one there without something, and you can get attacked, and it just wasn't something that I enjoyed doing, but it was something that felt was right at the time. I just felt like that was the only way out.
Photos of younger Jasper.
Looking back now, what support do you think you would have needed?
Therapy, counselling, just support. But it's just one of those ones. I didn't have anything, you know? Did not have nothing.
He stares off into the distance with a grave expression and sticks out his tongue slightly. Graffiti on a wall in Bristol.
What Jasper said about retaliation triggered a memory. About a week after I was stabbed, a threat came in from my attacker. As I'd refused to give up his name to the police, they didn't investigate further. But he knew where I lived, so I felt vulnerable.
A films himself taking a telescopic baton out of its case and extending it. He holds it in front of the mirror.
Well, this is something that I had in the first couple of months after I was stabbed. It's just a telescopic baton, basically. I carried it round probably for a few weeks after I was stabbed, just in a backpack, in case I saw the person that attacked me. Just to look at it now and think about the idea of hurting someone with that, it's horrible, to be honest. I think one of the toughest things about being stabbed is that I would never have done that to him. I would never have stabbed anyone. But once someone does that to you, once he did that to me, I could picture doing it to him.
A poster says, increase peace.
The threats that I received after being stabbed still hang over me. I'm thinking about contacting my perpetrator, but I'm aware this wouldn't just affect me.
Fran.
I'm considering reaching out to the person that stabbed me. What do you think of that?
So it's tricky. It's tricky to know. You don't want to kick a hornet's nest, do you, through this, in a way in which it gets out of control and there isn't, you know, you're wanting closure. You're not wanting to open this up in a way in which it escalates.
It's a hard one. I think there's some days where I'm like, I don't care. I'm in a good place. I don't care. And there's other days when I think about it and my adrenaline just starts pumping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I don't want is to hold on to that. I want to just completely cleanse myself of that feeling. And I didn't want to make the decision without speaking to you, I suppose.
No, I think you need to think really carefully if you need to do that, if you need to meet with him, or if there's an equivalent or another way to find closure. I think if you write him a letter, just the act of you writing that letter will be therapeutic. I think, I wonder if there's a middle ground here. You know, yeah, he stabbed you 5 times without even blinking an eyelid. And then, yeah, maybe I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to bring it that close to back into our lives again.
He could make threats and I could be taken back to almost 8 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to weigh up, is the worst possible outcome and the best possible outcome. And is it worth it?
It's just really hard to know which way to go.
A looks thoughtful, then glances at the screen on his video camera. Art on the side of a building reads unity, hope, peace. A is driving.
It turns out I already know someone who's done restorative justice. Kieran met his attacker last year.
So, like, he messages me and he's just like, sorry, sort of thing. And I'm like, mad.
Kieran's boxing.
I'm keen to find out why he did it and how it went.
People exercising in the gym.
I'm considering reaching out to my attacker at the moment.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you've got any advice on that.
When I went in today, it wasn't like I was going there to be like, I'm forgiving you now and this is sweet. I went there thinking, I'm going to face you and I'm going to stand in front of you and show you the man I've become.
And that's what it was for me. It wasn't me going there and being like, oh, let's have a fucking, like, you know, a little campfire and fucking sing songs together and like, make fucking friends. When I left, it was like 2 days later, it dawned on me actually what I'd done, and it was like a surge in like confidence where I was just like, fucking hell, I'm like, as if I did that.
So it was more empowering for you.
100%. Yeah. I can't say to you it's going to be exactly the same for you as it is for me, but for me, it was the best thing I've ever done.
I think one of the things about restorative justice is I don't want to feel anger towards him as well.
Do
I
you?
Don't, yeah.
You holding on to that is not good for you. It's like fucking drinking poison. Do you know what I mean? So let go, man. I mean, what's it doing? Is it making you happy? No, moving you forward? No, it's making you progress. Putting money in your bank, food on your kids' plate. Doing fuck all for you. Let it go.
Kieran points off to the side. Behind his camera, A frowns. Traffic going around a large roundabout at night, then a window on the side of A's house with the light on inside. A pulls out a chair to sit at a desk in front of his laptop.
After a lot of thought, I've decided to write a letter to my attacker.
He types.
I'm going to reach out to him and I'm going to ask him if he wants to do restorative justice with me.
He pauses and covers his mouth with his hand.
How shall I greet him? Should I say hi? Hey, all right, mate? I think just hi. Or is hey better? I don't know. Maybe hi is too formal.
He types out hey and looks anxious.
But I'm going to try and write something that lets him know that I mean him no harm, really.
He writes, I'd like to take accountability.
And my hope is that if we did go through a process of restorative justice, I could maybe understand why he acted the way that he did that night. Whether he ever felt any remorse. And it would give me a chance to take accountability for the way that I acted as well. The more I think about it, I could have handled the situation really differently. I could have walked away that night.
Put our falling out behind us.
I think that's a pretty friendly message. About as friendly as I can make it without being fake.
He presses the touchpad with his finger, then lets out a breath, sitting back in his chair to tilt back his head. Stars in the night sky, then the beach during the day.
I'd not managed to get hold of Curtis for a while, but he's got back in touch to say he's watched the CCTV of his stabbing. He doesn't want to watch it again, but he's happy for me to. He's warned me that it's a difficult watch.
The footage.
So I can see Curtis walking in the street. It looks like he's waiting for a taxi, having a smoke.
While Curtis is facing his friends, someone creeps up behind him and swings their arm at his back. He spins around in shock, leaning on a post for support.
He just stabs him in the back with so much force.
Now, by the taxi, Curtis bends over to lean on the hood while someone looks at his back.
It's really upsetting footage to watch.
A gets out of his car.
It can't have been easy to see that.
In the footage, no longer wearing his jacket, Curtis tries to stride off, then doubles over. His girlfriend and a friend help him to sit and lean his back against the post. Then Amanda presses a hand against the wound on his back. His jacket is spread on the floor beside him. He slowly lowers the front of his body down and pulls his jacket to his face as he lies on the ground. Amanda holds onto him. Now, Curtis and Amanda are sitting by the beach.
How was it watching the CCTV?
Quite shocking, really, in how sort of how brutal it was. I watched it 2, 3, 4 times, and then I sort of got obsessed, and then you sort of go through the emotions, sort of upset with it, and then angry, like, why that happened, and then you sort of remember all the traumatic experience that came after it, where I was sort of in the hospital for a month, air ambulance, and then sort of not being able to sort of care for my daughter the way I should have been, it sort of, and then it all sort of builds up into sort of a big ball of emotions. I just didn't really want to talk to anyone. I just wanted to be on my own. And I think that could be quite a dangerous place to be if you're sort of struggling yourself, is to be on your own.
Amanda's looking at him.
I wonder how all of this has affected Amanda. You can see her in the CCTV, caring for Curtis while they wait for an ambulance.
How's all of this been for you?
It's been quite difficult, actually, watching him go into that little hole. It's not very nice as a partner. You're really helpless, really.
You were always against him watching the CCTV.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it now that he's seen it?
I think it's had a really good impact on him, because now he wants to get the counselling for it, and he actually is speaking about it more.
If I've been worried or anxious about something, I've started talking to you more about...
Yeah, you have spoken to me
about things. So I've phoned the doctors and sort of said, obviously, I'd like to try and speak to someone. I've got some sort of counselling organised where I can go and sit and talk to someone. I just thought I could deal with everything myself, which was a bit naive of me, really. Physically, you can see sort of scars healing and recovering, but in your mind, you're scarred in your brain, but obviously it's something you can't see healing or progressing. Hopefully, once I start being able to speak and speak to someone and we sit down, we have conversations, I think it's only going to be positive steps from now on, though. In my mind, I feel more relaxed, I feel more calm, and I feel like it's going in the right direction.
The sun is reflecting on the wet sand. A drives by a field with pylons.
With mental health services under strain, I can't help thinking Curtis might have a long wait for support. Watching the footage of his stabbing was risky for him. I'm so glad it seems to have paid off. By reaching out to my attacker, I feel like I've taken a gamble too.
Plants on the windowsill in A and Fran's kitchen.
So I've just seen an email from my perpetrator come through on my phone now. I've not had a look at it yet.
He sits at his laptop.
Fucking hell, this is mad. Hey, same to you, bro. We was young, learning the business, etc. I haven't got no reason to have any issues with you. Knife crime is out of control nowadays with the kids. But me personally, I've left all that stuff in the past. That's crazy.
He reads more.
That stuff between us was kiddie stuff, and I apologise as an adult for what I did. I'm glad you're in a good place and still filming. You're good at what you do.
And I apologise.
I'm not sure about my personal involvement, but yeah, any other help you need, feel free to message me anytime. Fucking hell, man.
A wipes his eye with his fingers.
This is just crazy, man.
He stares at the screen.
I can't believe he's apologised. I never even, for a second, dreamt of a better response than this.
Looking stunned, he sits back. He closes his eyes for a moment, then gets to his feet and leaves the room. He gives his laptop to Fran in the living room.
For me, moving on started with letting go of a grudge. It was hard to talk at first, but as I do it more and more, I'm starting to feel lighter and slowly coming to terms with what happened.
She reads the words, "I apologize," with a deep frown.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's kind of amazing. Yeah. That is so heartwarming, isn't it, that he's turned his life around. and all the anguish of, you know, would there be retribution, the anger that might come from it, that you're doing this film, to have his support and that he himself is trying to make a difference. I mean, yeah, that's incredible on both fronts. And so much respect to him for having done that and to have that sense of perspective and want to change things now. I mean, really, you couldn't have hoped for anything better, could you? You know? Wow. Oh, phew. Well, that's good. That's good.
Bran smiles up at him. They stand and hug each other. Then A closes his eyes and sways with her. A photo of the couple with their newborn baby. Jasper's walking.
I've seen men dealing with the impact of violence in different ways.
Kieran with Lauren and dogs.
Some have opened up to their loved ones.
Curtis.
Some have sought professional support.
Twizzy's boxing.
And others have found their own unique ways of dealing with it.
A dismantles the telescopic baton by the bins.
It takes time, but eventually, I think almost all of us come to a point where we feel a need to open up to somebody else and let go of the past.
Details of organisations offering information and support with mental health, feelings of despair, or for victims of crime are available on the Action Line pages of the BBC website.